No, we all like to call when we sing hymns, or when you go to the contemporary service, they call it praise and worship and all these things. But we have to know that we all have a need to worship something, somewhere, somehow. And worship the Lord, as this verse says, worship the Lord with gladness. Know the Lord is good. But does everyone worship God? And are we even fully worshiping Him when we do worship Him? This is the question we have to ask ourselves. Now, when I think of the word worship, I think of passion. Passionate. First of all, when I was in high school and college, there was a worship band that was called the Passion Band or whatever, and it had Chris Tomlin and all these guys, and they were singing. And so I love that they're singing. I love that kind of music, but the word passion just describes how we should be in worship. But when I think of passion, I think of other things too. I think of Alabama football, first of all. You know, or any team really, but I have that experience. I went to Alabama games for years. And you go in there, and as it gets closer to the game, the people on one side will say Ala, the other side will say Bama, be like, Alabama, back and forth for about 5 minutes, and then all of a sudden the lights start going crazy. They got these LED lights now that just looks like a light show in the stadium. And then all of a sudden the team starts filling up that tunnel, about to run out, and then you hear the first few notes of Thunderstruck by AC/DC. You didn't expect to hear about AC/DC this morning, did you? But that song, when it starts playing, everybody just starts going crazy. The team runs out on the field. The stadium's going wild. You got grown adults acting like they're 12-year-olds, just screaming at the top of their lungs and just cheering and yelling, and it's going wild. But that's what I think of when I think of passion sometimes. But and also, they call football stadiums sometimes the college football cathedrals. Have you ever heard that? They call it that because people seem to worship their team too much, including myself at times. I will admit that. Now, it reminded me of a story of my friend Kyle. He didn't go to Alabama. He went to Ole Miss. And when he was at Ole Miss, they beat Alabama one year, several years ago. And he told me, he actually texted and sent me a picture of this. First of all, he wanted to gloat that they beat us. But mainly what happened was he got so excited towards the end of the game, he jumps up high as he could and lands on his feet wrong and broke his ankle celebrating the football game. And he still, with the broken ankle, rushed the field. I don't know how he did that, but he said he did at least. But anyway, you see how people get crazy over teams, they get crazy over celebrities, you know, and at times they even worship these teams, these celebrities, these musicians. You know, look at the old Beatles and Elvis videos, you know, where the girls and see them coming down off the airplane or at the concert, and some of them are passing out and just screaming, they're super excited about these people. And the point is, we all give worship to something. We all celebrate something. And why do we do that? That's the question this morning. Why do we feel a need to worship or celebrate things? Well, God designed us to worship. He designed all of us to worship. We were made to worship. That is actually a song. You and I were made to worship. Now, I'm not going to sit up here and criticize everybody that cheers for the team or likes some musicians or whatever. It's more about where your heart is. You can still do those things, but where's your heart at? Where's your heart at? Has that become an idol, or is God still your king in that moment? Because we do have to be careful with things in this world that we may put worship over God with. And why do we have to be careful? Well, first of all, things on this earth are going to fade away. They're not going to be here anymore. You know, if you cheer for a football team, 50, 100 years from now, there might not even be football anymore. It might be some other sport everybody goes crazy about. So everything's going to disappear at some point. So what's the point of putting all your worship into something that's just going to end up going away? Number two, worshiping people is very dangerous. mainly because people will fail you. They'll let you down. I know that because I've let down people. And everybody in this room has also let down people and also been let down and failed by other people. So we can't, it's not smart to worship people. And the third one is that worshiping ourselves does not work either. Worshiping ourselves does not work either because, first of all, you have this narcissistic attitude that everything's about me and don't care about anybody else, and that's against the scripture in itself. Us to care for others. But when we put ourselves, the ultimate reason is because when we worship ourselves, we put ourselves before God, and that is not how we are called to live our life. So what is worship? You know, some people think worship's just singing songs. You know, I remember we'd have like Saturday night worship or something like that. You go there and you just sing songs. And so a lot of times you think, oh, worshiping's just singing. You know, that's not it. So that's when we're asking this question. And the first thing worship is worship is devotion. Devoting ourselves to God and God alone. Nobody else, nothing else, to God alone. Because he's the only one that is worthy of worship. God is the only one worthy of worship. Sometimes we get to this place where we don't necessarily appreciate the worth of something anymore. Well, like snow. You know, growing up down here, you don't see snow too often. When you saw it, you thought it was beautiful and it was awesome and it was fun and you're excited and you didn't, because it was so rare and you didn't see it, but it's so beautiful the first few times you see it. And even if you don't see it for 4 or 5 years, that next time, there it is, it's beautiful. You want to go play in it and whatnot. Now, if you're from a colder climate, you have a different view of snow. I lived in Kentucky for like 3 or 4 years, and when I was in Kentucky, I no longer liked snow. The first time it happened, it was great. I didn't have to go to class. I didn't have to go to work. I remember that even in especially in growing up in Alabama, if it was even one snowflake, you wouldn't have to go to work or school. But this one was beautiful snow. It snowed everything in. I was like, this is great. Well, fast forward a couple months forward, and it kept snowing more than I thought it used to, what I'm used to at least. And I was like, I can't stand snow. It messes my car up. I got a shovel to get out of my house sometimes. I got a shovel to get out the driveway. And it was no longer beautiful to me. But even if any of that bad stuff didn't happen, you just get used to it either way. It's just like, it's just normal. You no longer appreciate the beauty of something. You know, because, I mean, snow is beautiful, even though it can cause frustrations. But if you get used to something, sometimes you can miss it and lose that beauty. You know, same thing with God. Sometimes we can lose the beauty of God and become numb to his glory. Just get so used to having God around us all the time. We can just, we're singing praises all the time, but oftentimes we just kind of go through the motions because we kind of lose that. But when we lose that, that's what we're talking about this morning, so we can know how to recapture that. Because there's other times that we're so aware and devoted to God that all we want to do is worship him. That's normally in very good or very bad times. Normally what happens when you go through those times, you feel so close to God and you need him so much in those moments that you are very aware of who he is and how amazing God is. And that, in those moments, it makes us realize that it's important to see God even in the ordinary times. Even in the ordinary times. You know, we have a liturgical calendar we follow. You know, and the bulk of the year is called ordinary times. Because there's no Easter, there's no Pentecost, there's no Christmas, just ordinary time. It shouldn't be so ordinary, though. What I'm saying is that even in the ordinary time, we should have God at the forefront of our lives in worship, not just at Christmas and Easter, but always, not just on Sunday mornings, but always. Psalm 145:2 says, every day I will bless you and praise your name forever. In other words, David's sitting here saying, hey, every day I'll praise you. Every day. Not just when you do something good or not when I really need you because I'm struggling, but every day. Every day. Help me see you freshly and in a new way each new day. Every day should be filled with our worship of God. Number two is worship is sacrifice. You have to give up something for the sake of God. First of all, we already know we have to give ourselves over to have salvation, but we know that it's going to call a sacrifice if we really want to truly worship God. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. In other words, you have to give your whole life to God, not just a few parts here or there, but your whole life to God. And in other words, don't give your mind, don't give your body to the things of this world or the culture of this world. Give it to God. And that's very difficult to do, especially on Saturdays during the fall. As I mentioned before, I have problems during that sometimes. You know, but don't let your mind be given to the world either. So give it all to God, all of it. Every ounce of you should be for God. It means we have to give up the things we might used to do. Maybe sometimes those worldly pleasures can creep back in our life. We have to push those back out again. It's a constant process. You know, even those tempting ones. And we'll all be tempted to sin, and we will choose sin at times. We have to know God forgives us for that. And we also have to know that He is more worthy than anything the world can offer. So give yourself to God completely. But that is a tough one. That's tough. That's tough. But that's something we strive for. It's something we're supposed to do, is the ongoing process of becoming more like God. That is what we are. More like Christ. That is what we are called to do. And this is how God wants us to live. And if you give Him all, you'll be living the best life He wants you to live. Not the one you want to live, but the one He wants you to live. The life abundant, the abundant life. Doesn't mean you're going to get all this wealth and stuff, but what it means is that you're living exactly how He wants you to live, because it is who He is that allows us to live in the first place. We must have God first. Giving God all of ourself is an act of worship. Devotion to God, giving you everything. Sacrificing my wants, sacrificing my desires for what God desires. It's an important thing to remember each day. Something that each person in this room, including myself, have to work on constantly. But it is important for us to do that. Number three is praise and worship, or singing hymns, anthems, or whatnot. That is also praise and worship to God. Because when we sing, we're singing to God, or we're declaring to others and God of who He is to us. It's an act of telling and singing of what He does for us, even. There's a lot of songs. I wrote down some song names. You know, you have, there's a lot of verses that talk about, you are my king, you are my all in all, you are the king of my heart, you are my Lord, you know. There's all kinds of different terminologies we sing, but we're expressing through song who God is to us and what He means to us. James 5:13 says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. So wherever you are, if you're in a good place, or if you're in a bad place, or if you're somewhere in between, we must praise God. Praising God all the time, not only in the good, not only in the bad. We should be praising Him all the time and with all of our lives. No. not just when you have like a take my breath away moment. Have you ever been to the mountains and you see a sunset, or at the beach and you see a sunrise or sunset, and it's just an amazing moment, and you want to praise God in that moment? That's not the only time we need to praise God. There's a praise and worship song. Every breath I take in you. And when I was thinking about that, that means, you know, we breathe in and out 20,000 times a day. I had to look it up. It's a lot, right? That's a lot. You know, in those moments of seeing the sunrise or hearing some great music, we need to worship God always, not just in those moments. You know, God wants us to praise Him with every breath, every single breath, not just the ones in those moments where we may lose our breath of seeing beauty. Every breath should be a praise to God, because every breath is a praise to God. Think about breathing for a second. Did we breathe, 20,000 times roughly a day? We don't think about the fact we're breathing, do we? Most of the time, we don't. Without that breath, then it's not a good thing. We wouldn't be here. So that's how important our breath is. And if every breath we take should be for Jesus, think about that. 20,000 times a day. Every moment should be a breath of praise of God, because we are capable of that. Waking up every day fresh, with a fresh mindset of, it's a new day. Sometimes we wake up the next day, it's like, it's just another day. No, but it's a new day. It's a new day where I can praise God. Because every moment is an opportunity to praise God. I find the best way for me to remember this, and I don't always remember it, I will say that, but the best way for me to remember it is to try to focus on the idea that God is always with us. Every moment is a moment that I can praise God. So if you want to get better at that, just think about and focus on who God is. Focus on, how will I praise Him every moment? I have to be mindful of who He is and where He is in that moment, which He is in all of our presence all the time. So every moment's a time of worship. Number four, worship is a relationship. Relationship. A relationship between us and God. Just like a father to a child. You know, we say, our Father who art in heaven. It's like a father to a child. He wants us to trust and know that He is a good, good Father. He wants us to know that. Trust in Him. You can use all those things for His good and for His glory. Even those awful moments. Because He's still with us in those bad moments. But if we don't establish this trust with Him, then we won't have a strong relationship with Him. We have to trust that He has what's best for us. We have to trust that He wants us to be in relationship with Him. We have to establish that trust constantly. Remember it. Knowing and allowing Him to meet our deepest needs. Knowing and allowing Him to meet us in the low times, and to meet us when we're doing well, in the high times. But definitely the in-between too. We have to know that He is going to fulfill our deepest needs. So what are some truths about worship? What are some truths? Well, we need to worship. We need to worship. I don't just mean on Sunday morning, but always, you know. A few weeks ago, we talked about the woman at the well. And Pastor Bobby was talking about how Jesus interacted with her, and Jesus was offering her a living water that will make her thirst no more. Thirst no more. And the living water of Christ fills us up if we just allow it. You know, our souls long and thirst for God. They long and thirst for God. And if we do worship Him, we will worship nothing else but Him and be completely satisfied if we tap into that living water. Because if you think about it, we get thirsty every day, right? This is why he used this example. We want to drink some water. I'm thirsty. I want to go Dr. Pepper or whatever you may want to get. But you're going to get thirsty again later on. But with just like they talk about how we have a God-shaped hole in our heart where only God's going to fill it up completely, right? With that living water. If you put anything else in there, you're never going to be satisfied. Only God and his living water through his son, Jesus Christ, will fully satisfy us. And if we are living in full worship with him through that, then we will be satisfied. Psalm 103, 1 through 5 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfy you with good, so that your youth is renewed like eagles." That's why we praise him. This verse that David had wrote down, this is why we praise him. Because he does something that nobody else can. No one else can do that. No one else can fully satisfy us. He alone satisfies our longings and desires. But he also is the only one that can fully forgive us, heal us, save us from the pit, and then ultimately crown us with love and compassion. He's the only one that can do that. That's why we have to remember to be in constant worship of him. We must put God in that high place. The high place is where God should be. He's going to be there whether you know it or not, but we need to put him personally there. Because if we don't, we may put ourselves in that high place. We must not forget that he's the creator and Jesus is our Savior and Lord. Because if we put ourselves in that high place, put ourselves first, what normally happens? What can happen there? There's a verse that talks about it, but we can't fix ourselves, can we? There's no way that we can fix ourselves. God is the one that takes care of our lives, and even when we're struggling, God is the one that's going to fulfill those needs because it's in his hands, and nothing can overcome God. Nothing can overcome God. We put ourselves above God. We put ourselves in that high place. Our pride gets in the way, right? What's the Bible say about pride? Pride goes before destruction, an arrogant spirit before a fall. Pride goes before destruction, and an arrogant spirit before a fall. That one kind of stabs us a little bit because we know we've all been in those places. The Bible also says, though, later on, that every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. That means everyone will recognize who God is in the end. It doesn't mean that we're all going to share the same eternal resting place or our eternal life in heaven, but they will know God. They will know him. And they may say, "Well, so you are real." Or they may say, "Wow, I missed this." And that's sad to think about. Because we got friends that may be in that spot. Maybe we need to reach out to them. You know, we have to confess and know that he is good and his love endures forever. His love endures forever. We must confess that his actions on this earth, Christ's actions on this earth, his death and his resurrection are truth. Something we must remember. Because if we constantly understand what God did for us on the cross, then we'll be able to worship him with our whole life. And until we fully rest in that, not just know it, but believe it, pull it deep into our heart. If we don't do that, or when we do that, that's the only way we can worship with our whole life. And that's how God wants us to worship, with everything, not just on Sunday morning. Let us pray. God, we come before you this morning admitting that oftentimes we do not worship and adore you as we are so called to, as we are so needing to, because you desire nothing more than us to give you everything and just give you praise, God. I pray that this morning we would recognize that and that our hearts would be full of that living water, so that we know that without you, we will always be looking for something else to worship. And I pray that we would worship you and you alone and just give everything we have to you, God. In my prayer, amen.